Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and my guest this week is Dr. Victor Tuma. Dr. Tuma has been a well-respected pediatrician in Central Jersey for over 50 years. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you? It's a long time you've been doing this.
I certainly have.
A lot of kids have come in and out your doors, I would imagine.
I've seen lots of kids. Yeah. Lots of kids. I'm now seeing my patients' grandchildren.
Are you really? That's amazing. What is that like when
it's
they walk
wonderful.
In?
In the beginning, it used to upset me. I kept thinking I was getting old, but now I love it. You know, it's like I'm really part of people's families, and it's a great feeling.
Yeah, it is, and you are. You're a part of Central Jersey, but right now in Central Jersey and everywhere, I'd like to touch on this triple-demic, as they're calling it. We've got COVID, we've got RSV, we've got flu all happening, the triple threat. I want to talk about the importance of getting vaccinated.
Yeah, let me make one little comment about that. You know, we have always had flu, we have always had RSV, we've always had all the other respiratory viruses at this time of the year. Of course, we've always had COVID as well. And so this is really nothing new. I think people are kind of panicked because of what we went through with COVID. That this triple threat, but it's really nothing new, and I think people should put it into perspective. And these are viral infections that we see every winter, and the important thing is that the parents have to learn to take care of their kids when they're ill, and they have to learn to isolate. If there's one good thing that came out of COVID is that we realized that people cannot go to school, people cannot go to work, people cannot intermingle when they're sick. They should stay home, okay? And I think we've kind of lost that again. You know, the schools want the kids in school. The parents want the kids in their daycares. But all of those things contribute to the spread of viruses, okay? So now we're fortunate, maybe we can start with COVID.
Okay.
We're very fortunate that they have developed relatively rapidly a very good vaccine, and they're continuing to address the changing virus by giving us new vaccines that are kind of keeping up with the mutations. And I really encourage everyone to get the vaccine. Certainly all adults and all older children. But, you know, the vaccine is available now to 6 months and above. And parents constantly ask me, well, should I give my baby the vaccine? Well, I think you have to look at the whole picture. So if a child is going to be in a potential situation where they're exposed, I think it's certainly better to get them vaccinated. And we kind of know right now that the risk of this vaccine is very, very low. And children don't even have the reactions of older people that we see. Some of the older people really get sick when they get the vaccine. I have not seen that with children. They take it very well. So, you know, I really encourage my patients to get the vaccine, particularly if their baby or young child is going to be in a situation where they're going to have an exposure.
Are there any concerns, other than the elderly or the older people that you mentioned, any concerns about getting the vaccination?
I have not seen any bad reactions, okay? Of course, maybe we can touch on the whole mentality of anti-vaxxing that's going on. There's a tremendous amount of misinformation out there.
Absolutely.
We feel pretty confident from the CDC down that this is a very safe vaccine, okay? It's relatively new, and I think that that's everybody's concern because we don't have a long history in our population of what this vaccine may eventually do. But right now, it seems to be very safe. I am totally vaccinated. My children and grandchildren are totally vaccinated, and I really have no concerns. And as I said, the young children kind of get the vaccine, and it's like a nothing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have very, 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 very infrequent reactions, and most of the reactions is local, just a sore arm. Okay.
Now, do you think this is something we'll need to take forever, like the flu vaccine?
I have a feeling that's what's going to evolve.
Okay.
I think this is probably going to be a yearly shot because, you know, as in flu, new strains keep coming every year. And but I do think that after a while, if you get your vaccine every year, including the flu shot, you have a much better chance of being immune and protected.
So the triple-demic term, that's just the media. I just saw last night on the news, on the nightly news, and I thought, is this a panic thing? Is it just they're just trying to, I don't know why they're trying to scare people, but do you think that's the case?
I have no idea why mm-hmm. they're trying to scare people either, but they are, okay? And it's like anything else that the news puts out there, and now they've coined this phrase, you know, triple-demic. And I think it's more media perpetrated than real. Now, I even hear the doctors using it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I've been here a long time, and I've been doing this a long time. I don't even think this is a particularly bad flu season. We're seeing flu.
Okay. That was my next
but
question.
I'll tell you
okay.
a very interesting fact, that when we had COVID and everybody stayed home, the last two winters, I saw no flu.
Hmm. Okay?
I don't think I had one case of flu in my office for two winters, and that was because nobody was around.
Right, nobody
okay?
around everybody else.
They were all at home.
Right, so that's the key, right? Everybody stay home.
Isolation does work.
Yeah. So, and I guess the important thing, and you touched on this earlier, is if your kids are sick, you got to keep them home because that's how it spreads.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the something that has to happen is that the schools have to acknowledge that if a kid is sick, they're not going to be in school and they shouldn't be in school. But they kind of penalize parents when they don't send their kids to school. And then we reap the disaster of everybody getting sick. I've said to my patients for years, there is no place better to get sick than in daycare. Because people have to use daycare to go to work and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need an alternative sitter for when your kid is sick or you have to take off. And businesses have to understand that their employees have to take time off when their kids are sick.
So you're saying that it's okay to go to daycare when you're sick? Is that my understanding?
No.
Okay. I thought you said there's no better place to get sick than daycare, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Because you're going to get sick.
Oh, okay. I got you.
All the kids in daycare are sick all winter long because people send their kids in sick.
I got you. Now, okay. there's talk that, you know, it's good to get sick that way. Maybe this is what you're saying. It's good to get sick because you need to build up an immunity to certain things.
Well, it's never good to be sick, okay?
Okay.
But there certainly is an advantage of building up immunity when you've had a bunch of viruses. And that's how we build up our best immunity, probably better than getting a vaccine.
Okay, so let's pivot to, you know, we talked about COVID. Let's talk about, and we touched on the RSV and the flu. Actually, we didn't touch on the RSV. But the different vaccinations, are they all just as important as the next?
Yes, so I think in general, all of our vaccine schedule is important to make sure that the kids get. There are certain vaccines, of course, that are now mandatory by the state, by the schools,
mm-hmm.
and the parents should get those vaccines that are mandatory. But again, we're in a world of kind of this anti-vaccine thing. I have friends whose grandchildren have no vaccines, and I think that they're a danger, you know? They're a danger to other people.
Mm-hmm.
In my practice, I do not allow people to be in my practice who are not vaccinated. In fact, I had a young mother bring in two young children the other day. They were new patients, and they had never received any vaccine. And I talked to her, and I explained that this is an office that it really approves and pushes vaccines, and that she was not really welcome in my practice. And she was very, very, very gracious. She understood that, and she left. I said, if you can find a doctor who will accept you, fine, but I don't want you in my office bringing your kids in here when I have young infants and young children who have not totally been vaccinated, and they're going to be exposed to your child who is unvaccinated, and you have no plans on vaccinating them.
Now, I hear you, and I agree with you, but let me play devil's advocate for a moment, because I've heard this argument that, well, if I'm not vaccinated and you're vaccinated, what do you have to worry about? Because you're vaccinated.
Yeah, but there's a number of a large number of kids in the pediatric practice that have not completed those vaccines.
I see. Okay. So you're talking about your office specifically. I guess the argument that I've heard, you know, obviously in the media, that why do people worry if I'm not vaccinated? If they're vaccinated, they should be fine. You know, every day walking around in public type of thing.
Well, if you are vaccinated, you probably are fine, but there is a certain risk of still getting certain illnesses. Okay, we know that the flu vaccine is certainly not 100%. A good year of flu vaccination, they'll hit a strain that's hitting the current strain of flu that's around, and it's still only about 60% effective. So you still can get it. Most illnesses that respond to vaccines certainly will be much less if you've been vaccinated.
Talking with Dr. Victor Tuma, who's been a well-respected pediatrician in Central Jersey for over 50 years. As far as RSV, could you explain exactly what that is? Because when you see a story about RSV, when it's talked about, again, it's a scary thing. But I think people know a little bit more about the flu and a little bit more about COVID than they do RSV.
Well, it's an interesting thing. This year, RSV has kind of raised its ugly head because of the amount of attention it's getting. RSV is the common cold virus. It's the respiratory syncytial virus, which causes the common cold. And for the vast majority of people, when you get RSV, you get a cold. You have a stuffy nose, you cough, you may have fever, you may not have fever. One of the problems with RSV is that you can get it multiple times. And it's not that there are multiple different strains of it, but if you've had RSV, you can get it again, especially if there's been a hiatus. The real danger and the concern is RSV in young children, and particularly infants.
Infants, right.
When
okay.
an infant gets RSV, they get a very interesting phenomenon called bronchiolitis. The virus goes down into the little tubes that lead into the lung tissue called bronchioles. And they get inflamed, they get full of a fluid, and then the child wheezes and can have real respiratory distress. So that's our real concern about RSV. The older child, and certainly adults, it's not a problem. We don't hospitalize 10-year-olds with RSV. Okay, but you can see really more severe illness, probably up to about 3 years of age. But it's more serious in infants than anything else. Okay, I know in the world of research and all, they are working very hard right now and trying to develop a vaccine for RSV. We have a treatment to prevent RSV for little preemies, and that's been around for probably, I'm not sure how many years, but I would say at least 5, maybe up to 10 years, of something called Synergist, where the infant comes in once a month and gets an injection, And it's almost like an injection of antibodies, mm-hmm. and that prevents the RSV. It's a very expensive treatment. Insurance does cover it. It's about $5,000 a shot, but it keeps these little infants out of the hospital or from death. So they're trying to extend that to older kids because right now the criteria to get Synergis is very strict and is really reserved for those very, very young child, the preemie or the kid who mm-hmm. has underlying pulmonary disease or underlying congenital heart disease. Those kids that we really push to get the Synergis. But hopefully within the next year or so, we're going to see an RSV vaccine, which is another vaccine we're going to offer. Okay.
Well, yeah. So you mentioned the multiple vaccines. Could you tell? I mean, are they too numerous to mention? How many vaccines do children need to get every year, and what are they?
Well, not every year. The total number of vaccines by two. I think it's approximately 22 different vaccines, okay?
22,
Now,
okay.
Some of them are repeats, okay? If you follow the CDC schedule, you need five DPTs, you need four polios or five polios. So some of them are repeats. But if by two, most children have their basic vaccines. Then as we progress in age, they have to come back for kind of like boosters. So the child needs another DPT at five. They needed another DPT at 10. We've added meningitis as a vaccine at 10, and again before they go to college. Now, in the last few years, we've added another kind of meningitis vaccine that hits the meningitis group B, the meningococcal, and that we give to kids before they go to college. And that's a two-shot thing. So that's mm-hmm. been relatively new in the last few years. But then even for adults should continue to be vaccinated. And people kind of forget that. And adult caretakers, internists, and even some family practice people forget to give their patients a new DPT every 10 years. And especially if you're a gardener or you're working and you're outside in your lawn, you should get a DPT every 10 years.
What does the garden or the lawn have to do with that?
Well, the organism that causes tetanus is in the soil. So if you get a dirty wound working in the garden, there's a potential of getting tetanus.
So tetanus would be, okay, I see. So that's what that's for. I got you.
That's the DPT. That's the tetanus.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this something that the doctor should know about? This isn't something a parent needs to have a list and make sure they check it off. I mean, when they go to your office, you know what the children need. And then when they come in, they say, oh, it's time for your DPT or it's time for this or that.
Well, I always tell new patients coming in, especially new parents, that if you keep your appointments with me and you get your routine checkups and you follow the schedule, your child will be immunized, okay? You don't have to memorize an immunization schedule. So I think that's why it's very important that people have a pediatrician for their child. Mm-hmm. We are the best vaccinators around, okay? And we keep up with all the latest stuff. And we make sure that our patients are fully immunized. So if the patients keep their appointments, then they get immunized.
Okay, so that's one of the things you tell the parents. You know, there's no manual for newborns, for babies, for kids. What are some of the things parents should be aware of? What are some of the things that you tell new parents? First visit.
The routine visit includes a whole myriad of information for people. Mm-hmm. We talk about feeding. We talk about safety. Depending on how the child is being fed, what they need as far as vitamins and that type of thing. One of my big, big areas that I talk to every patient every time they come in is safety. Accidental death is the leading cause of death of children, way above any illness, okay? And now I understand that guns are the leading cause of death. But think of it, that's an accident. But so those subjects are addressed on every single visit that come in.
There's so many ways, you know, you talk about accidental death. There's so many ways. How do you cover them all? I mean, everything from, you know, the strings hanging down from the blinds to too many blankets in a newborn's crib. Is there a list?
Well, we kind of cover them. And you know, I see the newborn infant very frequently, especially during that first year of life. So we don't go over every single area every single time. But by the time they're there for a year, we've pretty much covered everything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even the fact of how you feed a kid and choking on food and suggesting the consistency that food should be in right from the beginning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we cover a lot at each visit.
What are some, would you say there's one mistake the parents make the most, not necessarily a fatal mistake, but a mistake or misunderstanding that new parents have?
One of the things, and this is a very strong point in my talking to them, is leaving a child unattended on anything. You know, parents think that a dressing table with a lip on it or a king-size bed with pillows around the child is safe. They have to make sure that when they put that child down, there is no possibility that they can fall off of what they're on. They have to be in a crib, a playpen. I tell people they can put their child on the floor.
Right, I was just thinking that, yeah. Good.
All right, as long as you don't have an animal.
Right.
You know, you can't put a newborn infant on the floor when you have a Rottweiler in the house, okay?
No, you can't. Okay, yeah, that is a good tip, and it's been a while since I've had a newborn or a small child, but there's certain things that you just don't think of, and I think a lot of parents go through this. Why didn't I know that? Why didn't I think of that? So try and get as much information out as possible. So yeah. We just have a couple minutes left. If we could just wrap up, if we can jump back to where we started with the vaccines. We started off by with the word triple-demic, which is just like a panic word we've kind of established. But could you just review again over the current state of COVID, RSV, and flu together as it's being talked about and your feelings on it?
Well, I think the most important thing, those three illnesses, people have to understand that they are the normal wintertime viruses that have affected us for eons, okay? The important thing is that you look at your child, you see how ill they are. You can certainly take care of 99% of those children at home, giving Tylenol, fluids, rest, running vaporizers, keeping their noses clean with aspirators and things like that, and making them comfortable, propping the older children up in bed so that they're not laying flat. And just basic good care, okay? And then recognize that when the child starts to act more ill, is having respiratory distress of any type, then that's the reason to call the doctor or to go to an urgent care or even go to the emergency room if they're really in distress.
Dr. Victor Tuma, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
There you have it. Over 50 years of experience, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Team. For more information, go to jfkmc.org, or you can call Dr. Tuma's office directly to make an appointment, 732-549-7364. That's 732-549-7364. For a podcast of the show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. Thanks again to Dr. Tuma. JFK Spotlight on Health is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. Talk to you next week.